All right, that was Bikurunga and a Silicon remix of Drive.
It was interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. We never...
Interest is the spice of life.
Exactly. But speaking of a spice of life, we've got...
we've got the spice of life live in the studio.
I thought it was Variety. I thought Variety was the spice of life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my friend Ray Badron, a great Australian comedian, he used to say Variety's the spice girl of life. And I thought that was always a nice turn of phrase.
Yeah, yeah. Spice girls are great.
They are great.
Now, you've got a show coming up.
That's right. I'm going to do a show in Auckland. One can stop me.
No, you're going to do one huge show in Auckland.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
One big show. And I'll probably do little shows as well, but I'm not here to promote those.
No, just the one big one.
I'm trying to centralize it.
Yeah, into one huge one.
Yeah, that's the dream, man.
Yeah, because you could have 10 little shows or one big one.
That's right.
But you're going for the one big one.
I'm going for the one big one. It is actually, it's an interesting inflection point, I think, when you're touring, because I've been doing stand-up 15 years now, whatever.
Wow.
And when you're coming up, you do a lot of the little shows. And you go, you know, you tour and you go to a town and you do, like, or at least when there's comedy festivals, I go to Sydney and I do a week of shows in, like, a 20-seat shipping container. And then now you just go and you book one big theatre and you consolidate the... And also, because, you know, if you grow up and you get a family and whatnot, you don't want to... It used to be fun to go to Sydney for a week.
Totally.
But now it's a pain in the arse. And so I'm going for the one big show. That's
nice,
the plan.
Nice, nice. And how long have you been writing sort of
for this,
jokes?
This show? Oh, for jokes this show? Generally? For this show
for
or just
show,
generally?
Or just in both.
I remember when I was a kid... We drove, my uncle and aunt lived in Blenheim, and we visited them, and I was been 8 or 9 years old. We were in Christchurch, and I got a joke book, and the whole drive back, which was 3.5 hours at the time, I read the joke book out loud cover to cover, and people hated that, and the people were my sisters and my parents. They were not into that. So since then, I've been into it.
So did that inspire you to be like, those were bad, I've got to write my own?
No, I think some of them were all right, but I didn't know that you could do comedy. I didn't, like, you know, as a job and stuff. Mm. And eventually when all my friends were starting to get careers, like, I was sort of still just trying to harness as many daytime hours as I could so I could play backyard cricket and FIFA and whatnot.
Oh, fair enough.
And then when they were starting getting careers and, like, having these free days wasn't worth as much because all my friends were working, I was like, I should figure out what I want to try and do. And it was comedy. So I started writing jokes more broadly. That would have been in, like, 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
And then for this show, I started writing jokes in 2024. And now it's 2025. Nice. But I toured the hell out of this show. I already done it 50 times.
Wow.
In Australia.
In Australia. But now you're bringing it to...
I'm bringing it home.
You're bringing it home to, to end it.
Or this is it. This is it. This is the last show of the tour.
Wow.
Going to go big at the Kiritakanua down the Altair Centre. And... Cool. I'm actually very excited.
Yeah. What goes into a good joke, would you say?
A joke?
Punchline, I guess?
It depends, really. Like, you know, person to person, the way that we joke with our friends is kind of different from how you joke on stage. Because you're building, when you're with people and you're riffing, you're building, like, the world of the joke or the, you know, the conversation together. And then, I mean, I remember that was an addictive feeling when I was younger. It was like, I used to love getting that big laugh.
The class clown.
Yeah.
Class clown kind of vibe.
And then, I was kind of a purist in my head where I was like, but I would never repeat. If a joke was funny with one group and the opportunity to say the same joke arose with a different group, I wouldn't do it. I'd try to find another one.
So purist.
So I'd be like, but then I realized when you're doing stand-up, you just got to say the same jokes.
You've got to say the same jokes so many times.
Because the people haven't seen them,
No.
When did you guys, do you remember figuring that out? I mean, do you watch comedy? Stand-up comedy.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah,
do you like it?
I love it.
Oh, that's so nice.
I've been to the classic a few times.
When did you figure out that the comedians were not making it up?
It was a stark realization for me. However,
did you feel betrayed?
I did feel a little betrayed. But
what do you mean they can't do it on the spot?
Yeah,
I've been heckled by a comedian for the way that I laugh. How amazing is that?
What's your laugh like?
Oh, shocking!
Can't be a very good interview if I've not yet heard the laugh.
Oh, it's so bad. But that's,
Do you want to try stand-up comedy, Millie? Is that what's happening here?
No.
Because if you're a fan and you're there and whatnot, some people want to give it a go.
I don't think I could do it. I think I'm too sensitive.
To it not going well.
Yeah.
It's actually an amazing feeling. When you bomb,
yeah.
I mean, at first it's nerve-wracking and scary because, you know, you feel, but then you go to bed and you go to sleep that night and you're like, oh, I can still go to sleep.
That's
and then
true.
You wake up and you're like, oh my God, I'm still in my bed, you know, and then your life rolls on.
Wow.
And then it becomes kind of like, and I think once you get your reps up and you have self-belief, it's actually quite, you know, obviously the goal is never to bomb. And in a big gig, to bomb is a horrible feeling. But when you're figuring it out and stuff and putting it together, it's kind of powerful. It's kind of nice.
It's kind of funny in its own way, just bombing, I guess.
Yeah. It's only funny for you, though.
Yeah. Well, no, like, so when I watch my friends perform and stuff, if we're, like, you know, if people are working out new material, you go and watch each other's sets and you'll, like, you know, help, you know, be like, oh, you maybe, you know, change this or, you know, you just, it's nice. There's a good community. But watching someone that you love and you know is going to be emotionally okay from the experience of bombing, watching them up there sweat it out, magic. Honestly, like one of the greatest feelings that you can have in life. I know it's going bad for me when I can feel, and it hasn't happened for a long time, but like dry mouth is a classic tell that things aren't going
dry
well.
Mouth.
The other one, the single bead of sweat rolling down the back and you check your watch and it's like you've been going for 5 minutes and you've booked for 20 and you're like, son of a gun, I'm in trouble.
I couldn't do it. But you've not only done heaps of comedy on the stage, you've also done comedy on the TV.
That's right.
How's it different?
Stage is kind of, I mean, TV is amazing, but stage is kind of better because it's like, it's more immediate and it's more, you know, like to how many people, you get them all laughing together. You get everyone laughing together at the same thing and the experience of sharing it in that room in that moment. That's like, I don't know, with all the work that's getting wiped out in the creative industries by AI and whatnot, I do feel somewhat protected as a stand-up that I think both the ability to generate material that's actually funny, but more than that, to perform it.
Yeah.
It does genuinely feel like one of the last sort of, you know.
So it's safe from AI. Ones,
well, I think it will be in the final wave of AI's takeover. Like,
right.
and because it's primal, man. Like it goes back, you know, people
that's
used to
true,
speak
yeah.
in amphitheaters. You go to like any of these ancient cities and there are designated spaces for the exact same transaction between one person speaking and everyone listening as we're running now.
Totally.
And so I do think, you know,
yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and a robot can't read the room. You know?
That's right.
That's true. It could be bombing. There's no bead of sweat.
Yeah. That you don't. You know. You can see in their eyes that they're not actually experiencing the total humiliation of something they thought was funny not being funny, and that is funny. But the different. I mean, the other one is like, yeah, TV's amazing. Like, I'm so grateful. But also, you know, flipping heck.
It's past nine.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with it? Like, anyone, you know. Even the people who like, you got to get so many people to say you're allowed to make a TV show. And then even those people, their jobs are suddenly getting deleted. So it's like, how easy is it for anyone to come in and be like, we're not going to make that anymore? It's kind of scary.
That is quite frightening. But at least you've got the stage and you're going to be performing your show. I've noticed so many things. It would be unfair to keep them to myself.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that as a name.
Thank you. I like that title too.
Have you noticed lots of things?
Well, that's sort of, I think when I was trying, because you write the title before you write the show. So,
right.
You do, you know, I always go broad. And, you know, I was distilling what is comedy, what is my comedy at least, to its constituent parts. And I was like, well, you just notice something and you write it down. Like, I got my notes app running all the time. And if you say a funny sentence, I write it down.
Yeah.
If I, you know, see something, I write it down. And then when you're building the show, you take, I write them out by hand and then you go up and you expand and some of them work and some of them don't. And so that was, that's the initial part of the creative process. But these jokes are refined. This is a taut, tight show.
They've been done 50 times.
Yeah, it's going to be a banging show.
Yeah, is it different every show? Like some jokes are funnier to some groups of people than others?
Yeah, and big time. And also over the course of performing a show so many times, it's like the joke that every night you go out and you're like, can't wait for this bit, this bit always destroys. Your relationship to it changes. Like either you relax and so you believe the joke can support itself and so you stop putting the right energy into it or your cadence around it changes or something. And so like over the course of touring a show and doing it that many times, the best jokes, the strongest jokes, they undulate and change, right. Which is kind of crazy. And yeah, I mean, definitely some, you know, when you do the Melbourne Comedy Festival, you do 22 shows in the same venue in 4 weeks. And so you really get a feel for what's working and what's not. And, you know.
Do you ever just cut a joke that's just completely not working? Or you kind
from
of
the, from the show?
From the show?
Yeah, that's one of the, that's a great feel. Because, you know, when you're starting and you're just trying to learn how to talk for an hour and hold a room's attention for an hour, you'll be doing like a bit that's great, and then you'll get into one of your weaker jokes and you'll be like sort of decelerating into that. And you'll be like, I'll just get through this shit, you know? And it's like, well, who the fuck wrote the joke? Who's making you do that joke you don't like? Because the audience didn't ask for it.
Totally.
So when you, when stuff stopped working, you can exit. And also that makes way for, you know, you can open up other seams of thought, or like that makes way for other parts to expand and grow.
Totally. Hey, well, where can people grab tickets to your
I reckon
show?
If you went to, I don't know, if you look up Guy Montgomery Auckland comedy show on Google, that would be the most efficient way of doing it. Yeah.
You reckon that'll get the SEOs going?
I reckon the SEOs will go ballistic for that kind of thing. I'll give two tickets to someone.
Two Did tickets. You hear so that,
people texting, you guys judge it. People texting the best like joke, dad, or you know, set up punchline. Dad joke.
Come on.
And you guys judge it and get their email, and
hell yeah,
we'll get the tickets to them.
Did you hear that, B card holders? Send in your best joke to 5395.
Yeah.
And
we've been
given permission to tell if it's funny or not by Guy Montgomery himself.
You guys are the judges now. You're the arbiters of comedy.
Oh my God, it's a big responsibility.
Hey, everyone needs to go to that show, I reckon.
Yeah.
You're well rehearsed. You're ready to go.
I'm ready. It's the end of the tour. Boom. And it's great to be doing it on home turf.
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming
up. You guys are doing a great job on the breakfast show.
Thank you very much.
Must be pumped up to get back to the afternoons, though.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I just want a beer, man.
And we can't drink at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I've heard it's uncouth.
All right, we're going to go now into a bit of Big Thief.
Big Thief.
Got my THs and Fs around the wrong way. This is incomprehensible. Speak of the devil.